Philippians chapter number 4. Verse number 21. Philippians 4, verse 21. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful for the privilege that you've given us to come tonight and to be here together under the Word of God. God, we pray that you'd help us to be submissive to it. You give us understanding of it. And God, that you would enable us to not just hear your Word, but God, you'd work in our souls the desire to obey and do as you have commanded. We pray for those that are not with us tonight. I know many are still dealing with the effects of the storm, working or having their own trees and things they have to take care of. God, we pray that you take care of them, keep them safe. We pray for David tonight and the family as they grieve over the loss of his sister, and I pray, God, that you'd strengthen and help there. God, we pray that we would marvel in all that you have for us and done for us and planned to do for us, and God, that we would marvel in just who you are. You are God and there is none other. And so help us to worship you tonight and praise you in spirit and in truth, and we'll thank you for that in Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 21 through verse number 23. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And all God's people said, well, we have come to the end of Paul's letter to the Philippians and to the end of our study of this wonderful letter. And I think that we've learned a lot from Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, and there is one more truth that we are to learn tonight in the closing of his letter. Christianity is a relational reality. It's relational. Believers are in a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and we are also in relationship with our fellow believers. In a relationship with God and in a relationship with each other. And Christianity outside of that sphere of relationship is really not a biblical truth. The reason why I think our relationship with the Godhead and with one another is not what it should be or not what it can be is because we're still in the flesh. And we are still sinners and we are still selfish and self-centered. And fellowship just doesn't happen. Say that again. Fellowship just doesn't happen. Fellowship is work. It's hard. It's difficult. It's time consuming. But fellowship has to be worked on daily. And if we don't work on fellowship, we won't have fellowship. And if I don't intentionally work on my fellowship with God, then I won't have much of a relationship with God. And if I don't work on my fellowship in the church, then I won't have much of a relationship there either. Right? So let me add tonight that these two relationships Our relationship with God and our relationship with one another are connected. So that if my relationship with God begins to wane, my relationship with you will begin to wane as well. Or if my relationship with you wanes, my relationship with God will wane too. So the church, that being believers in relationship with God and with each other, is to be so unique and so special that the world takes notice of how peculiar we are. This was written about the early church. Listen what this writer said about the early church. What our first century world saw was the phenomenon of people of all walks of life loving one another, serving one another, caring for one another, and praying for one another. Slaves and free men were in that community. Rich and poor were in the fellowship. Roman citizens and non-Roman citizens were in the community. Members of the establishment and those violently opposed to the establishment were part of that community. The intelligent and the illiterate were members of that community. To the utter amazement of the world outside, they were bound together in an unexplainable love and unity. That was the early church. And it seems to me that the farther we get away from that early church in time, the less we look and act like the early church. But Paul here gives us a parting reminder of the importance of our fellowship. And the loss of this kind of fellowship among the saints is one reason why we are not very spiritually influential in our community. It's clear to me that the Bible teaches that the primary way that we evangelize our community is by how we love one another, serve one another, care for one another, and pray for one another. That's the primary tool that God uses to reach others, how we forbear one another and forgive one another. But because churches aren't doing that very well, church has lost its influence in the very world in which it is in. So we have one final command from Paul's pen, one last command in this letter. It is the command here, salute. That's an imperative, it's a command. It means to greet. And it's more than just saying hello and goodbye. It is a word that means to show hospitality, to be hospitable. It means to embrace one another in love. It means to serve one another in love. It means to know one another in such a way that we know each other's needs and we pray about them and we seek to help meet those needs together. We have some work to do for our fellowship to be what Paul commands our fellowship to be and what would be pleasing to the Lord. And so tonight I want to encourage you and encourage us together to take more seriously the fellowship that we have with God and the fellowship that we are to have with one another and to see the importance of it and to work toward it. Number one. Notice number one, our fellowship is to include all the saints. Our fellowship is to include all the saints. Point number one. So Paul says, salute every, right? Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Salute every saint. Now, the idea here, it's in the singular. It's not salute all saints. It's salute every saint. It's in the singular so that we are to greet each one individually. So when we come to church, No matter how many we have, each person is to be saluted or greeted or loved or cared for or served. And there is to be none left out. You ask, well, how do I do that? How am I supposed to obey this command to salute every saint in Christ? Well, you may have to come to church a little early and greet some before the service begins. And then you greet some when the fellowship happens during the service. And then finally, you might have to stay a few minutes after and greet the rest after the service. You see what I said? It's work. If we are going to greet all saints, all the saints, each and every saint, each individual saint, every saint that is here, it's going to take some work. I'm amazed how we seem to be in no hurry to get to church and then in such a big hurry to get out of church. Amen? If this command of Paul is going to be obeyed at Lakeview Baptist Church, it will mean that we all, every one of us, have to work at it and spend the time needed to be in obedience to it. Or we can just brush it off as if it's not in the Word of God. We are not just to salute our families or our friends or our age group or the group that sits with us. We are to salute every saint, and no one is to be left out. We are to salute those our age, those that are older than us, those that are younger than us. We are to salute and greet and love and serve and care for these little children that run around the church after the service is over. Can I ask you a question? What kind of relationship do you have with them? Now, some of those little guys are hard to have a relationship with. They're timid, they're shy, and you sort of have to break through that. I know there are times when I've had to bribe kids to let me talk to them. But do we try? Do we give it any time? Do we make an effort to make progress with them? I got a text the other night that I didn't see until the next morning, but it was a text from Jesse, and Elon had wanted her to text me and see if Denise and I were okay because she was concerned about us during the storm. I thought that was neat. But then I thought, that's probably the result of, after every service, taking time to talk and to listen to Elon tell me what's going on in her life. You don't know this, but most Wednesdays, typical Wednesday, Justin and I don't get home till after 10 o'clock. Because we stay, because people stay, and we fellowship and we work on relationships, and we wouldn't take anything for that time that we spend here. But it takes work. The Holy Spirit has placed each of us in this place, and we have a function to perform. And every member of the body is important and should not be overlooked. Amen? Being a part of a church is more than just showing up. It's to involve yourself into the fellowship and the unity of that particular body of believers. And was thinking today, I can do a much better job at it. You could probably do a much better job at it. But we'll have to decide that we are going to do a better job at it and make the effort and put in the time and do the work. Amen? Number two. Our fellowship, I can make this work, is to identify us as a family. Our fellowship is to identify us as a family. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. And then Paul uses this term, What is it? The brethren. Now, you know that's a family term, right? Before we get there, let me look here. He says, every saint in Christ Jesus. Saints are holy ones who have been set apart for God's use. We are in the world, but we are not to be of the world. We live in this world, and we come in contact with this world, but we are to be distinct from this world. Yes? And a saint is one who, by the power of God, has been placed in Christ Jesus. And light can have no fellowship with darkness. The church is not a social club in which we simply come together to discuss the same things the world discusses. We are drawn here by the same person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Christ is the focus of our fellowship. He is what binds us together. And let me remind you, it's a far different thing to be a member of a church from being a saint functioning in the fellowship with the saints in Christ Jesus. Far different thing. Then we have this term, brethren. It's a family term. It means we're a family. We're brothers and sisters. And Paul is using that term to imply and to get us to see that we are a family. We have a common Father through the new birth, and we that are saved by the grace of God are brothers and sisters in Christ. And listen, that's not just a throwaway term that Paul's using here. He uses it intentionally and deliberately. He actually wants us to view the church, us, as a family. And you know as well as I do, families are a lot of work. Amen? Good families just don't happen, do they? We have a whole country that has a lot of problems because of bad families. Families are a lot of work, and families demand a lot of attention and care. Families aren't perfect. Families have different schedules and different agendas, but they get together because they're family. Because they care for one another and because they enjoy one another's company. Listen to this quote. The American church has become too entertainment-oriented. You can draw a crowd if you put on a good program. But if you announce that the church family is just getting together to meet with the Lord and with one another, not many are going to show up. It ought to be enough just to gather with brothers and sisters and share in the things of Christ. Amen. Paul says that you are to salute all the saints. And then he says this, all the saints will salute you. Isn't that how it works? As we love others, as we serve others, as we care for others, as we pray for others, we are then loved in return and served in return and cared for in return and prayed for in return. Even by those that we barely know, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. They don't even know them, but these saints in Caesar's households have heard of them. So our fellowship is supposed to be identifying us as a family. Number three. Our fellowship is to be illustrative of the grace of God. Our fellowship is to be illustrative of the grace of God. Now, we are a family, right? We should act like a family. We should fellowship like a family. We should come together as a family. We should make up as a family does. Paul says this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We are in the family of God. But none of us are in the family of God because we earned it or deserved it. Right? Is that right? In fact, we deserve not to be in His family. We deserve to be cast away, and we deserve to spend eternity in torment, separated from God, not eternity with God. So how are we in the family of God? Well, by God's grace. It is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. He loved us. Not because we did anything to deserve His love. He just loved us because He loved us. And by God's grace, He served us. How? By sending His Son to die on the cross in our place. By proclaiming to us the gospel, by giving us life through the new birth. By God's grace, He cares for us. He protects us. He provides for us. And He meets every need that we have. And you know what we do in response to God's work of love and service and care toward us? We sin. We sin against Him, right? How many of you know that God has loved you, cared for you, served you, and taken care of you today? How many of you have sinned against Him today? That's what we do. We respond to God's love and care and service to us by sinning against Him. Every day, every hour, we sin against the very One who loves us, serves us, and cares for us. And you know what God does in return to that? He forgives us, keeps on loving us, keeps on serving us, keeps on caring for us by His grace. And we want that grace, don't we? I don't want God to be fair to me. I don't want fairness. I want grace. I want mercy. I want that grace. Do you want that grace? Well, if we want that grace from God, should we not extend that grace toward one another? If I want God to treat me by grace, should I not treat others by grace? What do we do when someone offends us? Or what do we do when someone wrongs us? Do we respond with grace or do we cut off fellowship? We fellowship with one another as we enjoy the grace of God in His unmerited kindness toward us on the cross. That's what we fellowship in. Do you know you can never, ever extend to each other the grace that you have received from God? You can never, ever come close to extending grace toward someone to the degree that you've received grace from God. It's not even close. Our fellowship should be full of forbearing one another and repenting toward one another and forgiving one another by the grace of God. Because God forgives me and God forbears me. What Paul commands here in the end of this letter is hard work. It's hard work on our part. It's difficult. Some of you are sitting there thinking you're asking too much. It's too hard. Well, it's what Paul commands. It's what God desires. We should. Should we not? Commit ourselves to one another in fellowship. Should we not strive to be obedient to the authority of God's Word where God says, salute every saint, greet every saint? Should we not desire to see that what God might do in the work of salvation in the souls of this community if this community could see the love we have for one another? You see, it's easy to do personal evangelism, to knock on a door, pass out a tract, to tell a stranger about Christ. That's easy. The hard part is living in the church with your brother and sister in Christ and loving them and serving them and caring for them and praying for them and forbearing them and forgiving them. That's hard. But that's exactly what Paul calls us to do. And the idea of this word salute is not just fellowship here at the church. Sometimes we have to make visits. Sometimes you need to go to somebody's house. Call somebody on the phone. Say amen. We don't want to do that. It's hard. But because we haven't done it, or we don't do it as well as it should be done, we have lost influence in the community. The world no longer sees the church as a phenomenon. It should. How can those people stay together and love one another and care for one another and serve one another? Only through God. Only by the grace of God. And you see, we illustrate to the world God's grace that we have received as we extend grace toward one another. Say amen. You see, when somebody asks you, well, how do you put up with so-and-so? I know them. They're hard to deal with. What do you say? Well, I've been the recipient of God's grace. God forgives me of all of my sins. How could I not forgive them? So what does Paul say? Paul says, salute every saint. Our fellowship should include every single saint here in the church when we meet. Those that are not here, we should make efforts to contact and to see if they're sick by visits. Our fellowship is not only to include all the saints, but our fellowship is to identify us as a family. The world needs to know we're a family. We need to know we're a family. And our fellowship is to be illustrative of the grace of God. Amen? Now, either that resonates or it doesn't. But I know this. I need God to help me do a better job of that. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the time that you've given us to look into the book of Philippians. Thank you for the instruction we have received there. God, we pray that you would enable us to put those truths to work in our lives, that you would work in us and through us to see these things true in us. God, that you would make Lakeview Baptist Church a place of fellowship, that everyone that comes would receive love and care and service, and that we would identify ourselves as a family, and God, that we would illustrate for this world the grace of God as we have received from you as we extend grace toward one another. Use our lives living together in the church as that which would reach those that are lost. Let them see a phenomenon here that is only possible by the grace of God. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for that. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, amen.